In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, All Saints makes the long journey west to Midland. The final leg of the Division I Grand Prix commences in Plano. Is this the year Concordia Lutheran takes the South, and can Green Hill shock the world? All this and more in the Week 9 preview of the Texas Private School Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson, joining you from Dallas, Texas. Walker Lott joins us from College Station, Texas, where I will be this weekend. Ryan Schroeder joins us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, where I do not have any plans to be anytime soon. Walker Lott, you first, phoning in from College Station. A fantastic slate last week. Another great slate this week. Your thoughts on life in general and the meaning of the cosmos?
You know, life's not really meaningful right now because the Boston Celtics look like an unbeatable team in the NBA, and that's just awful. That just
makes Jason Tatum.
Yeah, and that's just the worst. And it makes me sad. They are killing the Knicks right now. It's just the worst, man. And private school football, though, is good. That's always a good thing. And, you know, we have a – is this – Wes, I'll hit it back to you. Is this the most important home game in A&M's history since the SEC, like when we joined the SEC?
Off the top of my head, yes. I mean, I don't usually we have imploded long before this. It's always For October real. Where everyone loses their minds, and somehow we've gone undefeated in October as well as September, which scares me deeply. I don't know. I had my week ruined this week on the drive home because I don't have a black A&M polo, and so I was like, I'm going to think ahead because if I try to get one at Aggieland Outfitters on Saturday, they'll be sold out. So I went on the website. And I ordered it, and they had it in my size. And I said, just hold it at the store. I'll be there Saturday. And they're like, that sounds great. Thanks for being proactive. And I got an email about 30 minutes ago that said, oops, we sold out, even though you reserved it. And I was like, I'm going to burn down Aggieland Outfitters. Not really. That's a joke.
You need to go to the warehouse. Go to the warehouse.
I'm glad you said that, because I was trying to remember the name of that. I'm going to look on their website and see. I might just be in a black t-shirt, dude. I don't know.
If you want, I can go pick one up for you this week.
That actually might be a good idea. Remind me of that after the episode, because I have a rat brain and I won't forget. Ryan Schroeder, before we derail this conversation even further, how are you doing? Your thoughts on the slate?
Yeah, no, it's we're gonna get into another one of the, you know, call it the Trinity matches of all of them together. Actually, not the Trinity. Trinity's a bad word. We don't like Trinity on this podcast.
No.
But the three horse race at D1 finally comes to a close after this week, which is gonna be fun. But yeah, just wrapping and rolling, getting through the season. Week 9. I mean, that's kind of an insane thing to think about. But yeah, we're almost done with the regular season. That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know. The days are long, but the years are short. I think the saying goes something like that. But we are rolling right through them. So let's jump straight into the slate. The first game that I am very happy to preview, as you can see by my shirt, Hyde Park at Grace Community, where Grace is a 21.5-point favorite. In a district matchup whose very existence still baffles me, Hyde Park will travel to the prettiest part of the state to take on Grace Community. Decimation at the hands of Regents aside, Grace has had a good season. Freshman Braden Alexander runs without regard for human life. And with McCade Stinson in the backfield and Boone Masters and Luke Wilson blocking for them, Grace should be able to bank 3 or 4 scores here. Sophomore Westlake transfer quarterback Crawford Moffitt has taken the reins of the offense and has led them to 35 points per game. There's also Hayden Bechtel, Houston Shaw, Matthew Lee, and offensive lineman Mason Parrish that will make the Panthers a formidable opponent for the Cougars. However, there's not a great win on this schedule. When the best win is probably Grace Prep, it's maybe not the most stout competition they've played. And, you know, playing in District 2. I think this is still District 2. I've lost the plot with all of the monstrosity districts. But I don't even remember what I was saying. But Also, Grace needs to win this game to avoid a trip to Midland for a first round death sentence. And for that reason, give me Grace Community. It's been a long time since I picked against Grace on this program. I don't anticipate doing it in the near future. I'm not going to flip my chair over and do all the usual antics because it was a long day. But Grace Community, I don't bet against Grace.
I truly don't know where I'm gonna pick here. You know what, Wes? I'll follow your lead. I'll pick Grace.
No.
The only game you'll have between them is the Brook Hill game, and Hyde Park lost to Brook Hill. Grace beat Brook Hill. Just by that, I'll go Grace. But both, it was what, a one score game in both games, so you never know. But give me Grace Community.
I was really hoping that's the first time that you've picked Grace in a very long time,
Yeah, that
actually.
was crazy. I was like, I thought there was one thing you didn't like, and it was West Tulsa's Grace Community Cougars. But I guess
I'll change my pick. I'll be fine with that. I can change my pick. If
it.
Wes, do you want me to change your pick?
Yes.
I'll change it to Hyde Park then. All right. This is
Yes.
first time truly, I think this has ever been done where we changed the pick. But I mean,
The motion graphic has to flip the other direction. It has to go across the
it's
other
more
way.
work for me. But yes,
Yeah.
I'll pick Hyde Park. Sure. Why not?
By the way, I want this on record now. There's no appeals to the pick record for this game. This is set in stone. There's no appeals. There's no
Yeah,
appeals.
of course Walker would 100% appeal. This is going to be brought up in late December. It's going to be one of those
I'm gonna
things.
end up winning the pick record by one game, and this
Long
is gonna be
game.
the
Yep,
reason.
100%. That's exactly what it's going to be. And because of that, because you're going to win the pick record by one thing, I think I know where to go here, calling it into existence. Give me Grace Community here. I honestly, I think this is just one of those games where, Hyde Park is going to travel up to Grace, and in my opinion, like we said, should be a pretty even match, but it truly decides that, that next slot was behind Regents and stuff, and in that region, right? Wait, hold on. I'm trying to think.
Yes, you're
Because
right.
Saint Michael's
St.
is
Michael's in D1 now.
D1 now.
This
So,
is Grace, Regents, Hyde Park, Brook Hill, Brentwood, Grace Prep, maybe.
wait, where does so Regents? So
I just,
Regents,
what is going on?
Grace is
Yes.
right there, and then
I mean, they
everybody
lost
else.
42 to nothing. I can't even play argue it at this point.
No,
I mean, it.
I even if Grace is number two team in that district, there's a wide gap. But give me Grace in this game.
I would be lying
Can
if I
I change
said
my pick? Can I change my pick
no,
back to Grace? But that doesn't like that's not fair because y'all
nope.
picked that, and now for my pick
Okay,
record, I'm gonna be one
here's
game up.
what I'll say, and then I'll answer your question. I would be lying if I didn't put that game on the slate halfway because I thought I could bait Walker into picking against and making a bad
Oh,
pick. And
my
for that reason, Walker,
goodness.
here I'll say one thing. This is a coin flip game, I think. I
Yeah.
think it's close, but also. With me coming clean in that regard, you are free to pick how you want.
No, because now the graphic's gonna have to change again, and it's gonna flip the other
So
direction
now
back
you have to put
over.
even more work in if you want to.
Exactly.
You
So
got to think of what you want to do here.
fine. I'll stay with Hyde Park. Screw
Yeah,
this, man. I
exactly.
this is gonna end up.
Exactly.
Grace is gonna lose. This is gonna
Exactly.
work out for Walker. And
I think me and Ryan are tied. You're one by game behind us. So I think that's what the last pick record is, right? Anyone remember? But I think
I
that's
think
what
it's
it
within a
is.
game or so.
I think
I
I'm.
don't know.
I think.
I'm probably like 5 games ahead, probably. I'm probably
Shut up. I think Ryan and I are tied. Wes is one game behind. So, whatever. This it doesn't matter anymore. Life's, you know. The Celtics are gonna win the title again.
Okay. This is dumb.
Moving on. See, once we get to week 9, the wheels completely fall off the bus. But I feel like people like watching the wheels fall off the bus more than they like watching real analysis at this point. I don't
Sure.
know. Let's move on into some SBC action where Houston Christian will travel to Arlington to take on Green Hill, where the Mustangs are a 27.5-point favorite. So this is something I have to take a moment for. Welcome to a TXPS episode, Green Hill. This has never happened before. Welcome. 4 years of doing this, and the first time that we have Green Hill on.
How did
What's
I not
Walker doing?
know? How did I not know this?
So now I've got to be honest, there's a small chance they could have, but I highly doubt they have been up to
Are
this
you
point.
keeping
I've
track
now
of
I've got to
this?
stall. I've got to stall for like another 30 seconds to see what Walker's going to do.
Well,
I'm not gonna.
Are you keeping track of this? How do we know Greenhill's not been? What is he wearing? What is he
Oh,
got?
he's bringing the hat back. Because Greenhill's been too bad for us to preview ever. There's no shot they've been on an episode. I mean, straight up. But now they are. Okay.
Oh
Now,
my gosh.
after stalling for a good 30 seconds
You
for
could have
Walker to
kept
get his hat.
going. That's on y'all. You could have
I
been no
didn't want to
steal.
go through the whole preview. That's a good point. Anyways, moving back into the preview, Greenhill is 2 years off of a winless season, and they went 2-7 the prior year. They now have a non-zero chance of playing in an SBC 3A state title game. Quarterback Will Black is a baller and will have to be accounted for by the Mustang defense, as is wide receiver Bryson Watt. The Hornets are averaging 36 points per game on the season, and massive credit has to be given to Coach KJ Williams for orchestrating this turnaround. But Houston Christian is still Houston Christian. They're still first in the district. Anderson Jones, Bennett Mallory, and Kirby Orth constitute the best wide receiver core in the division. And whether it's Ron Reese or RJ Evans throwing the ball, I think Houston Christian survives this one, even if it's in Greenhill. However, I'm going to Hill to cover that 27.5 point number. It's not like we picked that. I just want that on record. Say I know ball if it happens. It's a big spread, but Houston Christian is good, but they've played to the level of their competition below them a few times this season, especially in that TVS game without Ben Nagishu. I think Houston Christian wins. I think somehow this is a two-score game somewhere. Walker.
Yeah, I'll go with you. I'm gonna go Houston Christian. I love the hat, by the way, Greenhill. I gotta pick Houston
That's
Christian.
sick. That's sick. Jordan Brand too.
Yeah,
Yeah,
no, it's a great
sick.
hat. It's a great hat. But yeah, I'll pick Houston Christian. I like this team. They're the favorites in SBC 3A for a reason. But Greenhill is making a lot of noise. They have some talent. You didn't even mention Kaede Castillo, who I think is one of the best defensive linemen in SBC 3A this year. I think they have some dudes. But I'm gonna pick Houston Christian in this one.
Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, big spread and kind of a big drive down from, Dallas to Houston Christian. Greenhill's had a great year this year. One question I wanted to ask, and I think this just goes back to how the structure of the championship is selected. So for those who don't know, Fourth Country Day beat Greenhill at Fourth Country Day 36-28 in a game that's going to matter a lot down the stretch. Country Day has two district losses at the moment themselves. If Country Day is to win out, I'm almost positive that if Houston Christian beats Greenhill, and then and Greenhill will also have two losses in district, Fourth Country Day takes that spot, right? Because of head to head, I'm assuming. Yeah, y'all are clocked out. I'm gonna say that it's probably somewhere along the lines of the fact that Greenhill, if they don't win this game, will not make the SBC 3A state championship. So this
No.
is a win or die must situation.
Yes.
Give me Houston Christian here.
My bad. I slowly started to clock what you were
No,
saying. I'm
you're
not gonna. I
good.
wasn't even doing anything important. I was on Twitter watching. Watching debate highlights. Anyways. But yeah. Green. Greenhill. Falls to a 3-0 sweep for us versus Houston Christian, and somehow that means the Hornets are going to win this game. That's just what the laws of the universe dictate. Let us move on to a Taps Division II matchup far, far west of here. All Saints at Midland Christian, where All Saints is a 13.5 point favorite. All Saints will take the long journey west this Friday to do battle with the Mustangs of Midland. This matchup has gained significant importance in the last couple of weeks, as it will be for the district title. All Saints is on a warpath, proving themselves as one of the top teams in TXPS. They are 7-0 with wins over two of the top teams in the state in Parrish and Prestonwood. Everything that could go right is going right for the Saints. Rice commit Gavin Parkhurst has a wealth of riches at his disposal, whether that's Hudson Reisor, Quamonte Williams, and Bryce Henderson. They constitute one of the top receiving cores in the state, and they have proven it this year. And with guys like Ian Bothwell and Hudson Dalton blocking for Cole Powell Freeman in the run game, there's not a weakness to point to in this Saints offense. Flipping to the defensive side of the ball, Dalton Knapp is one of the best prospects in the state. His ability to dominate fronts might be unmatched in Division II. Combining him with Dean Watkins and Blake Robinette and the defensive firepower certainly matches the offense. As for Midland Christian, after a 1-4 poor start to the season, the Mustangs have quietly gone 2-0 in district with a punctuation against Fort Worth Christian last week. Midland is going to run the ball, and senior running back Case Cole will see the majority of those carries, probably in the neighborhood of 30. However, that does not mean that Midland will not throw the ball as Bosquez and Jarrett Stock still are viable receiving threats. Defensively, Coy Hayes, Cutter Smith, and Brady Young are going to command a stout unit that will hope to stifle an All Saints team that is averaging 43 points per game. As for the pick, it has to be All Saints. I know I was proven wrong by Midland Christian last week, and they are a team that could go deep into November. All Saints is just my Division II title pick as of right now. They're the most stacked I've ever seen them, and I don't know if anyone is a better fit for a school as Parkhurst is for All Saints. They're on fire. You're not going to catch me betting against them playing a Division II team. It's just not going to happen. Give me the Saints. What was that spread? 13.5. I think that's accurate. I think, by the way, this is a tough game in Midland, and I think there's a non-zero chance. I don't think it's a certainty that All Saints goes in there and wins this game. Crazy things happen out west. Midland is a very, very tough team, but All Saints, from a talent standpoint, there just appears to be too much of it. Walker.
I'm going to go All Saints as well, and this might rile up some feathers of the people out in West Texas that we know and love, but I think that 13.5 or whatever this, what is it, 13.5, I think this is like a 3-4 score game. I think it's a blowout. I think All Saints is that good this year. I think they're a really good team, and I like Midland. I really do, but I don't think it's close in this one. Sorry, guys, but it's Midland. It's All Saints. I think Parkhurst is going to lead them a very long way.
Very, very possible, Ryan.
Yeah, as one of the last teams undefeated, you know, across UIL and private school in the entire DFW area, All Saints has truly, you know, basically set a precedent for themselves with starting off the year over Parrish, then Prestonwood. I mean, beating ESD in a close game. All Saints has done just about as much as you can do to prove that you're the number 2, 3, 4 team in the state behind Liberty, because that's the only team that you didn't book, right? So, I mean, All Saints has truly, you know, shown how lethal they can be. I think even a Midland drive is going to go in their favor. You know, they're truly one of the best teams. Gavin Parkhurst is by far one of the best transfers from a transfer situation to another situation. Gavin Parkhurst has put him in the best situation. Gavin Parkhurst has put him in the best situation possible to succeed and receive more college offers. I think that's the biggest, or put his name out there more. But all that to say, this team's tough. They're the favorites in D2 for a reason. And I think this is the reason why, is because they can go travel to Midland. They can go beat this team by, I think 13.5 is too low. I think they're going to win by like 3 scores.
If Midland wins this game, I've jokingly said before that we'll have to shut down the podcast. We will have to shut down the podcast if Midland wins this game. Yep. There will be significant repercussions.
They're not. They beat Parrish and Prestonwood back to back weeks. They're not going to lose.
Yeah, I understand.
They're
that,
not going to lose
but
the game. They're not going to lose.
This is a no win situation for us. You understand that. If we picked the game right, it's obvious we should have picked it right. If we lose,
the burner will come after us.
They will drive from Midland to our respective houses. They will go up to Oklahoma City.
What university? No, they're not.
They will. They will. Right? Walker heard the things they said in that basketball gym. They will come and find you.
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's a different breed of people. That being said, for the love of God, please, All Saints, win that game. Moving on to a TAPS Division I South matchup, Concordia Lutheran High School at Houston St. Thomas. The Eagles of St. Thomas are a 26.5-point favorite. That is a large, large number. Both of these teams are in interesting spots. St. Thomas had a rough start to the year going 0-3, then ripped through their first three district games, and then lost by 27 at Antonian last week. Concordia looked like they could be the district favorites up until 2 weeks ago, where they fell to Central 22-18. Concordia technically still controls their own destiny to a district title, but they would likely have to win out. St. Thomas would need to win out and for Antonian to drop two of their final three contests, which quite frankly is not likely. As for this game, Savio's offense has been incredible. Not Savio, Concordia's offense has been incredibly impressive thus far, thanks in large part to quarterback Tanner Huckfeldt and wide receivers Mason Dominey and Noah Castillo. However, that has largely been against bad teams, and against Central Catholic, they were held to 18 points. St. Thomas's offense has kicked into gear into recent weeks, scoring over 45 in three straight weeks until the loss to Antonian. Roy Thomas Jenkins and Logan Branting will prove a test to this Crusaders defense. And I'm going to have to take St. Thomas in this spot. It is largely based off of that Central game. Concordia Lutheran lost 2018. St. Thomas won 40-23. Honestly, my gut is screaming to take Concordia Lutheran. But I learned a long time ago that the emotional picks often are what get me in trouble on this program. And the more I go boring and take chalk, the better the pick record is. And that is coming from the two-time defending TXPS pick record
Dude,
champion and soon to
enough,
be
bro.
three. That being said, I'm going with the data. I'm going with St. Thomas. Eagle fight never dies. Walker, your thoughts?
ENFD. I'll go St. Thomas in this one. I if you told me 2 weeks ago, right? I would have probably picked Concordia in this matchup. And I'm still, like you said, my gut's screaming Concordia in this one, but I just that Central game is interesting. And from hearing about the Concordia Central game, it could have been a lot worse for Concordia in that one too. So I'll just take St. Thomas. I feel like it's a safer pick. I do think St. Thomas itself has a lot of issues they're facing, and I think and Antonio kind of exposed those issues. So I could see it going the other way, but so it's a chaos game. This is this Thursday night game. I should be at it. If things still go to plan, I should
Ooh,
be at it.
Thursday. Okay.
It's gonna be an interesting one, and it's gonna make all of my friends on the Concordia side not like me right now, but I'm gonna pick St. Thomas.
We will
There you go.
see. Ryan Schroeder, your thoughts.
You know, one thing I probably have kind of seen from Coach McGuire is that, like, you know, he is an established coach inside of private school football. He knows, basically how to run a winning program, right? He's done it for years and stuff. And I'm just gonna say it, with a flat out embarrassment, right, of losing to Antonian Prep by almost double the score you had, right? You know, like, that's uncharacteristic for a St. Thomas team culture that we've seen since we've been doing this podcast, right? Like, that team has never ever had something like that happen to that extent. But with that being said, they're still scoring 28 points plus in district, right? You know, every single game they've scored 28 plus. They've scored 48 in their other two district games, including the Central Catholic game, which we've noted on so far. Like, this team is good. And those three losses that we're talking about at the start of the season, a great St. John's team, a great Kincaid team, SBC 4A powerhouses, and then Lake Creek is a UIL school. So it's like, I can't really fault them at the end of the day for those losses and stuff. They've grown, they've learned, and I think another hit in the face like Antonian just proves for a pretty pedal to metal type win against Concordia Lutheran at home. Give me St. Thomas here. I think 26.5 is a lot, but I don't know, man. I think those guys are gonna be feisty. I don't think they're gonna like, because that's basically the gap they just lost by. I mean, theoretically speaking, I could see them gapping somebody else like that. It's a
The game
lot.
makes me
It's a
nervous.
lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
We'll see. We got to go off of the information that we have on this fine Tuesday evening. But speaking of incomplete information, we move into the last game of the slate. That is Prestonwood at Parish Episcopal, where Parish is a 9.5-point favorite. The third installment of the District 1 Grand Prix will commence Friday as the Lions will travel to Farmers Branch. We've stated that the margins at the top of Division One are razor thin, and we have been proven right after the last 2 weeks. Both of these teams fell to Liberty, Prestonwood by three, and Parrish by eight. Those games were very different in tone, though. Prestonwood jumped out to a lead on Liberty and faltered late, while Parrish got hit in the mouth but responded in the second half. This game is massive because it is for an opening round bye. Both teams will play each other in the quarters, assuming that these results hold. Quite frankly, I'm very stuck on this game. Under normal circumstances, I'm taking Prestonwood. Their ability to beat you through the air and on the ground is very impressive to me, But they lost Caden Collins on the first play of the Liberty game, and Tekashi Shaw had one carry for 3 yards last game, so that doesn't seem like a glaring good sign of his health right now. And, you know, the close game against Liberty seemingly was a result of them being banged up following the close game against Legacy seemed like it was a result of them being banged up after the Liberty game. Parrish doesn't have a dominant running back as in years past, but they certainly still have Anderson, Pyle, Darby, Fields, and Smith. This game scares me really badly. I'm going to take the Panthers at home. I really want to take Preston Wood in this game just because I think when everyone's healthy, and even if they have Tekashi Shaw full strength and not Caden Collins, him and LJ Taylor are a great two-back duo, but I don't even know if Tekashi Shaw is healthy. I like their ability to pass or run. Sounds very basic, but that kind of is what Preston Wood is. Give me Parrish, though. With the information I have, and I'm assuming that Collins is out, Shaw's banged up, give me Parrish to finish second in the district. Walker.
I'm going to go with you on that. I'm going to take Parrish. I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be like last year where both teams were just, this is going to be an offensive battle, right? Just points, 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 and who can just make one stop. I feel like that's going to be kind of this game where both offenses are great. You know, Matthew McClain is turning into probably one of the top receivers in all of TXPS. Like, he is truly that dude. And offensively, they're going to be great. Defensively, you know, they got pieces. I think defensively as well for Parrish, they're going to be solid. Like I said, I think it's going to be a lot of points. What defense can make a stop? And I'm going to say I think Parrish makes that stop. So give me the Panthers at home.
Ryan Schroeder.
So the thing for me here is I wanted to look at this Legacy game because I wanted to know if Ian Pulte played. But Luke Lawrence played, which is the backup, and in turn makes this game super close for whatever reason you don't understand, right? You look at the stats, and it also doesn't make a lot of sense. For Luke Glass, throws for 211 yards and about 50% completion rate with only one passing touchdown, no interceptions, according to what his stat line says on Max Preps. But LJ Taylor, 27 carries, 210 yards, and two touchdowns. LJ Taylor is the junior who is truly rising on the scene with Tekashi Shaw kind of taking a back seat on the one carry, right? Matthew McClain, obviously we talked about Enzo Bingham, obviously Mr. Sunday NFL Countdown. All that to say, right? Parrish has been the team for years. I don't like how Parrish's defense looks. I don't like the run game not being of a high efficiency. The strong suits are the number one wide receiver and probably the number one quarterback on the same exact team together in private school. I'm going to call Sawyer probably number one in that aspect, and Jalen Pyle is far and away the best receiver. He's incredible.
Yeah.
Besides that, there's a couple playmakers, you know, like they always have. And then, yeah, guys like Carson Darby and Bryson Fields are also playmakers. But, man, I saw Preston Wood go toe-to-toe with a team that is like that in Liberty. Liberty looked good against Preston Wood, and it still looked as if – like, I saw signs of Liberty being Liberty, and Preston Wood still was able to catch up with that. I don't think people should read too much into the Legacy game. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to take the game at Preston Wood being in Preston Wood's favor. Give me the Lions.
Yeah, and one of the large reasons I wanted to go with Preston Wood was, you know, Liberty came out and smacked Parrish in the mouth. And I think a large reason why they came back was because Chase Garnett went out at half and never saw the field again.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to discredit Parrish's comeback, but I think Chase Garnett being on the field is a big reason for that. And that's why I was so big on Preston Wood's run game, because neither of those guys are quite Chase Garnett, but they're both really, really good in the same way he is. But again, I'm assuming they're not 100% because Legacy, no disrespect to Legacy, Legacy doesn't almost beat you with everyone being healthy. And I don't know if that's going to change rapidly within a week. I don't know. It's going to be a fun one. I think it'll be close, but yet again, I have been wrong before. But that being said, that actually concludes all of the material that we have for this week. A short one, so I'll give closing comments to both of you. Walker Lott, very, very interesting slate. I should be at Parrish Prestonwood this week before I drive back down to College Station. Your thoughts on the slate overall?
Yeah, I think it was good for my week. I think I'll be on Thursday. I will be at Concordia St. Thomas if nothing changes. I will do this is I'm going up to DFW this weekend for something, and I'm trying to figure out a game on Friday to go to in DFW. So I could be at like a Lubbock Christian, Covenant Christian matchup, or I might do the homeschool matchup, Atlas versus Dallas HHSAA. I might do that. So we'll see. I might do the first for the first time in ever. Maybe just do a poll and let the people vote, see where I'm at on Friday. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's been a good day. Good time.
Dude,
I think the poll would be a fantastic idea.
Dude, polls remind me of high school. There's this one memory, dude, of a guy, a Biffrey. Yeah, dude, it is the number one memory in my high school. Part of the reason why I wanted to create a video in high school. That's crazy. Yeah. Oh, that's a crazy memory I have. Well, you didn't ask for my thoughts, but I'll give you my thoughts. My thoughts on the slate are it's actually I've really been interested to see how this full, you know, three-headed monster ends up in D1. I think there's some other, you know, kind of really important games in here. This Green Hill Houston Christian game means a lot. You know, on the surface, it might not seem like a lot, but if Green Hill wins, they basically secure them and Houston Christian spots in the SBC 3A championship. You know, I don't know. There's a lot to the slate. I think it's a little bit more than we understand. And I'm excited as we get near the end here.
Definitely so. There are a lot of interesting storylines beginning to pop up that we are going to see materialize throughout the final weeks of the season. But that being said, we will be back in your feed Monday afternoon to let you know how the week turned out. Hopefully well for my pick record, but that remains to be seen. As always, I've been one third of your hosting crew, West Hollis, and Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you on Monday in the review episode. See you later.